This week, as the NATO peacekeepers move into place in Bosnia, we've been exploring some of the causes of the war, the rise of nationalism in Serbia and among the Serbs in the other Yugoslav republics, the conflict in Croatia as the Yugoslav Federation began to shatter. Then Bosnia remained. It was said Bosnia was the bomb, that it would really be a war if the fighting spread to Bosnia and Herzegovina. And that's because the Croat and Muslim and Serb populations were so well intermixed there. The warnings were accurate. Perhaps 200,000 people died in Bosnia. And the capital city, Sarajevo, was held in siege. People cold and often hungry in dark apartments.
Every day, I'm asking 10 times a day, which day is it today? And which date in the month it is, and I can't even remember which month it is. And if you want me to be very honest, I almost forgot which year is this. We lost any sense of seasons in the year, and we lost any sense of the future. I mean, there are only two seasons now. There is a war season, and somewhere in the world there is a peace season. Not for us here. No.
Ne znam, nisam siguran. Šta izdvojiti? Šta godi? Da se igraju i tako dalje. Tako da izdvojiti nešto što je najgore u svemu tome je teško. Gotovo nemoguće.
Evans thinks that the worst part of it, that whatever looks like normal life, is absolutely lost. All situation is humiliating.
Gordonem and Ivan Knezevic talking with NPR's Tom Jelton in Sarajevo. Tom has reported from Bosnia and Croatia throughout the conflict there, and he joins us now once again from Sarajevo. Tom, that time you spent with Gordona and Ivan in their apartment in the city, it's a bit shocking to note that was in 1992, just the first summer of the war in Bosnia.
Right, no, that was my first trip to Sarajevo in June 92. The war at that point was only about 2 months old for the people of Sarajevo. Of course, it went on for more than 3 years after that.
Let's go back to the firing of the first shots in the conflict in Bosnia. Who fired at whom and why?
The first shot, I would say, Noah, was actually fired in August of 91. And it was fired in northwest Bosnia. A group of Serb paramilitaries captured a television relay station on top of a mountain up there, seized control of the station, and once they had control, switched off the channel that broadcast Sarajevo television and replaced it with a channel broadcasting the news from Belgrade. This was very significant because it predated the war by several months, and it showed that the top priority, at least of the Serb side, was to gain control of the news media. Propaganda, you know, has been very important in this war. It has been very important to shape people's understandings, perceptions of the conflict, and even their self-identities and their feelings about their neighbors.
And then you had the very dramatic situation in April of 92, the next spring, where from the Bosnian Serb headquarters in the Holiday Inn, shots were fired on a demonstration in downtown Sarajevo. Remind us about that demonstration. Who those people were and what were they doing?
Those people were what Czech President Václav Havel once called the fourth side in Bosnia. You know, we always talk about the Muslim Serbs and Croats. There's another whole group of people who just call themselves Bosnians because they come from a place called Bosnia. They identify themselves as citizens of a state, and they do not like to be identified by their nationality. That group of people was protesting outside the parliament in Sarajevo against nationalists of all kinds. That day, the Serb nationalists who were holed up in the top of the Holiday Inn fired at the demonstration. The Serb nationalists, by attacking that demonstration, showed their contempt for this idea of a citizen state. And I think it could be said that that group, those Bosnians who wanted a citizen state where nationality didn't count, are the real losers in this war.
From the perspective of the Bosnian Serbs, how justified do you think were their fears that they would eventually be living as part of an Islamic state in Bosnia?
I would first of all say that their fears were not false, they were genuine. Whether they were justified or not is a much more complex question. I think that there were tens of thousands of Serbs who did not fear that, who believed that they could work within the system. It's also clear that Serb nationalist leaders filled their news media with a lot of propaganda that was untrue and false. So I think on balance, the Serb fears of Muslim domination were exaggerated, but they definitely were real. There's nothing false about them.
As to the military strategy, I've never understood why the Sarajevo situation remained static for so long. Why didn't the Bosnian Serbs just go ahead and take Sarajevo, the capital of Bosnia?
You know, Noah, they actually came very close to taking Sarajevo in May of 1992. On that date, I think it was the 2nd of May, a column of tanks actually came down the street we later came to call Sniper Alley, the main east-west boulevard in Sarajevo. They came almost to the center of town and were beaten back by a kind of a ragtag militia. After that, they never tried again. Whether they could have or not is hard to say. It would have involved a great deal of house-to-house fighting, very high casualties on the Serb side. And they followed instead a strategy simply of shelling the city and hoping to force it to surrender through political means.
This war is stopped for the moment. Who can point to what has been accomplished at the end of 42 months of conflict?
Obviously, it's a lot easier to count what has been destroyed and lost. I think to talk about what has been accomplished, you can really only point to one thing, and that is the power of nationalist politicians and their parties. War has a way of entrenching leaders of countries in their positions. Right now, Alija Izetbegović, the president of Bosnia, Franjo Tuđman, the president of Croatia, Slobodan Milošević, the president of Serbia, are firmly entrenched in power. They and their fellow politicians, I think, are the only ones who could be seen as emerging from this conflict in some ways strengthened.
Mm-hmm. From the viewpoint of the Bosnian Serbs, do you think they feel they fought too long, they went past a point of opportunity? What do you think their situation is now?
I think what we have seen in the last few weeks is a real division among the Bosnian Serbs. And in particular between those based in the Banja Luka area who are emerging from this conflict in a fairly strong position. They have, in fact, more territory under their control than they would have gotten under the contact group plan that was drawn up more than a year ago. On the other hand, the Serb leadership based here in the neighborhood of Sarajevo is very weak. Radovan Karadzic, the president of the so-called Serb Republic, who has his power base here, is definitely a loser. He'll be lucky not to have to be sent to a war crimes tribunal. So what essentially happened was a shift of power from the Sarajevo Serbs to the Serbs of northwest Bosnia around Banja Luka. The big undetermined question, Noah, is how much support and following the Serb nationalist leaders still have among ordinary Serbs. We know for a fact that Serbs, as well as everyone else in this country, are desperate for peace. Only when we have a normal political situation and free elections will we see whether ordinary Serb people still follow and support the movements that their leaders have pushed now for the past 4 years.
NPR's Tom Jelton talking with us from Sarajevo, Bosnia.